Chapter 13.
Derek had completed his transformation as he fled from Stiles, and saw no reason to change back once finished. Whatever form can get him farther away the fastest was the one to be in. He ran directionless at first, just anywhere away from Stiles and his look of fear that had sliced right through Derek's heart. He ran across broken tree limbs and rocky outcroppings with no regard at all for proper footing and his own well-being, battering and blooding himself enough that the wounds remained far longer than they rightfully should have, though avoiding such injuries and missteps in the first place would normally have been second nature to him, especially when the wolf was at the forefront. But he couldn't focus at all on his surroundings, as he usually was able to do without so much as a thought. Not when all he could hear was the too rapid beating of Stiles' terrified heart. When all he could smell, Stiles' shock and fear. When all he could see was his face drained of blood. Derek could have blundered into a campsite full of hunters, and he would never have known until the first bullet hit. If then. He just had to get away from Stiles before he truly went mad. So he could be sure that no matter what, he wouldn't hurt Stiles more than he already had. Eventually, after the initial burst of shame and grief-fueled adrenaline had burned off, he stopped to reorient himself. He had actually only ran about 5 miles away from the house, through an area of the woods the pack rarely bothered to venture out to as the land was craggy and generally devoid of any worthwhile prey. Derek panted harshly, tongue lolling out of his mouth as he took in his surroundings in a daze, before misstepping and tumbling down about 15 feet on the rocks before he stopped himself. He whimpered with pain, even knowing it was temporary, and made his way back up to where he had fallen and started off towards home, though much more gingerly and at a slower pace than his flight from his utter failure had been. Derek still wasn't thinking as clearly as he normally did, but all he could focus on was that he needed to get home, because if he couldn't be with his mate, he needed to be with his pack. He limped at first, leaving bloody paw prints in his wake, though after the first mile or so, the wounds had healed themselves for the most part, the only evidence that he had ever been injured, the blood matted in his fur. As the physical damage faded away, he was able to increase his speed to a steady trot, and soon enough the hill house was coming into view, the smell of pack thick and permanent in the air. He didn't know how much time had passed since he first snuck in to shower to meet Stiles, but however long it had been, the house was empty now as it had been then. It didn't matter. The pack would return to the den eventually. He went inside through the mudroom, the door equipped to allow easy entry and exit to those on 4 legs. He went through the house, up the stairs to his room, and scrambled up onto the bed, not caring that his nails tore and shredded the sheets as he did so. Near the top of the bed, right next to Derek's pillow, was a hoodie of Stiles's that he had left in Derek's car after one of their dates, that Derek had meant to get back to him eventually, but had never gotten around to it, instead bringing it up to his room so that he was never too far away from Stiles's scent. He pawed at it and brought it closer, burying his snout in it with a mournful whine, and waited in his home with his mate's scent, but not his mate, not ever again, for his family to come home and do what needed to be done.
Stiles readjusted his legs again while remaining in a seated position on the grass. Derek's leather jacket laid out across his lap, and his phone glued to his ear like it had been for the past half hour after Laura, upon being filled in on the basics of the situation, had told him to stay where he was instead of meeting her in town. Stiles, so far, had found his phone conversation with her to be extraordinarily illuminating. A little frustrating and scattered at times, with Laura going off on tangents, that Stiles did not yet have the necessary background information to follow, and rages at her brother that did little to hide how worried she was. But all in all, incredibly eye-opening. Okay, so I'm just going to stop you for a minute so that we can reestablish the key points here. Primarily for my benefit, but whatever. Anyway, fact 1. Werewolves exist. Can shift into both a freaky-looking Lon Chaney Jr.-like hybrid form and full-on Canis Lupus. They have enhanced strength, senses, especially of smell and of hearing, and a wolverine-like healing factor. Right? Right. Fact two, the entirety of your family are werewolves. Yes, though sometimes a child is born, and for all intents and purposes, they are human, but their kids might still be werewolves. Interesting to know that even the supernatural can have recessive and dominant genes, though unless werewolves can get guys pregnant, that's sort of a non-issue for me right now. Can a werewolf get a guy? I've certainly never heard of it happening. Good. That's good to know. Back on track. Fact three. Werewolves have mates. That can be a human or a werewolf. And said mates help to stabilize werewolves emotionally, mentally, and physically once they are properly mated. Yes. Fact four. I am Derek's mate. Yes. Styles. Fact five. Derek was... Without me, he would... Styles, you have to know he loves you, truly, from his heart. This isn't just some pheromone and hormone-driven biological preservation deal. He... Laura started, just shy of frantic. Look, Laura, I'm working on the assumption that him loving me right now is a given. What I need is to make sure I have all the information straight before I do anything else, Styles snapped. Laura remained silent on her end of the line. I need to do this right. I need to help him. Because, yeah, this was probably the stupidest and most ass-backwards way of trying to tell me, and my initial reaction was probably not entirely optimal, but I get why he tried to do it that way. My brother is an idiot, that's why, Laura said quietly. And despite having only ordinary human senses, instead of supernatural shapeshifter previously only thought to exist in horror, or possibly erotic horror fusion fiction ones, Styles was pretty sure he heard tears in her voice, even over the phone. But he's my idiot now, and as I really have no intention of giving him up, I have to take care of him. Laura let out a sound halfway between a laugh and a sob. God, Styles, right from when I first met you, I thought you were the weirdest and bravest little kid I ever met, and I stand by that first impression. Especially the weird part. But when we found out it was you, that you were the one for Derek, just, we were all honestly so damn happy it was you. So Laura, what do I do? Styles asked, his fingers clenching around Derek's jacket, trying to draw comfort from the familiar feel of the warm leather under his fingers. All right, well... Do you know why I told you to stay where you are instead of coming down into town or me coming up to meet you? Well, when you first said it, I thought it was because time was of the essence and all that. But seeing as this has been more of a teaching rather than planning and executing course of action phone call so far, Styles suddenly felt incredibly exhausted. He released his grip on the jacket, the indentations from his fingers lingering, and scrubbed his hand over his face, trying to collect his thoughts. His hand smelled like leather, and some subtle spiciness he always associated with Derek. He lifted the jacket up to get a clearer smell, as the realization hit him hard. So I wouldn't smell like you, or anyone else. Yes, normally smelling like me shouldn't be a problem, because I'm Pack. But if he's not thinking straight, any other scent on you could mess him up more. So, I gotta go to him smelling like nothing else but Otis Styles? No problem. Still getting used to the scent being important outside of making sure it's not an offensive rank, but I figured me going to Derek was going to be part of the equation. But again, what do I do? Give me all your wolfy protocol and etiquette so I can make sure I'm doing everything right, so Derek will understand. Should I bring him a dead rabbit? Do I bare my neck? Crawl on my belly? What? I'm not sure. What? How can you not be sure? You're the one with a lifetime of werewolf-related expertise. Styles, this is a very specific and unique set of circumstances. There is not a lot of precedent for a wolf with as many trust issues as Derek being in love with a human as you are. Styles sighed with frustration. Should I have called your mum or dad instead? I thought that it would be slightly less something to talk to you about all this while still being able to get all the info. But if I called the wrong Hale, who isn't currently inclined to turn tail and run away from me, tell me so I can figure out what I should do. If you really want to talk with my mom, I told her to meet me at the wellness center, so she should be here any minute now. But, oh my god, do werewolves have telepathic pack bonds? If you guys do, why isn't she there already? You said that you had told me all the important werewolf power stuff, Styles accused. We don't have telepathic pack bonds. I mean, we all can generally sense the well-being of pack members, especially the Alpha. But we are not members of the freaking X-Men. My phone has a talk and text option, so I messaged her like 5 minutes after you called, once I was sure what was going on. She and Dad just always forget to put the ringer back on after she goes to the movies. Believe me, if I had telepathic abilities, she would have checked her damn phone a lot sooner. Okay, so the many, many allowances I spent on comics through the years still have yet to yield any kind of real-world benefits. Fine. So, would your mother be able to tell me any specifics on what to do or not? I'm afraid not, Styles. A new, non-Laura voice said over the phone. Hi, Mrs. Hale, Styles said, suddenly apprehensive about talking to Mrs. Hale for the first time in his life. He had called Laura rather than her mom for a reason. When it came down to talking about important stuff, not just light gossip and how school, and here, have some cookies, he just wasn't sure he knew how to talk to a mother anymore. Mrs. McCall almost counted, but then again, she almost didn't. She had been there for years, side by side with his own mother, and when it was eventually just her, she had always felt as a hybridization of how a mother should be and an extension of Scott. Even when Styles woke up crying in the night at Scott's house in the weeks after the funeral, he never confused Mrs. McCall's hugs for his mother's, even half awake, for an instant. She comforted him the best she could, but as much as he knew she loved him, they didn't belong to each other the same way that Styles and his mother had belonged. But Mrs. Hale? In the times he had seen her once he and Derek had started going out properly, Styles had come to realize that she wanted him to belong to her as a son, fiercely, like an ember burning underneath the surface whenever she saw him. Sure, it might just be a part of it was wanting Derek to be happy and balanced. Maybe it was the entire pack thing and all the tight bonds that it apparently needed. And he was okay with it, mostly. Hell, maybe he was getting closer to being okay with having a mother figure again. He didn't think his mother had been all that closely acquainted with the Hales, but he knew, in his heart, that she would have liked them very, very much. That all still did not mean he was quite ready to engage his potential new maternal figure in a discussion of his love life regarding her son. They should at least go on a camping trip where it rained and everyone bonded through their misery first before he felt comfortable laying quite that much out to her. But werewolves probably never had any awkward camping trips anyway, trying to get the fire lit in a downpour, so he might as well get over his hesitation now. He felt mildly proud that he was more anxious about talking to his might-as-well-be mother-in-law instead of the werewolf stuff. "So none of you can tell me what I should be doing? Not even any hints?" he begged. "Aside from making sure your scent doesn't get muddled, which Laura messaged that she had prevented you from doing," Styles faintly heard Laura interrupt with, "Yeah, Mom, he should be good," in the background. "Yes, good. Thank you, Laura," Mrs. Hale responded, barely bothering to direct her voice away from the receiver. "As I was saying, aside from that, there honestly is nothing we can tell you. There is no magic word or ritual to help Derek right now. He just needs you." "But he already ran away from me once. What if I mess things up more?" Laura kind of alluded to, not in so many words, but still, I got the gist that something most decidedly ungood will happen to Derek if this isn't resolved soon. I want to do this right," Styles said, curling in on himself, his throat tight. "Styles, you love my son, don't you?" Mrs. Hale asked gently. "Yes," Styles said, not at all ashamed of the tears now falling from his eyes, down into Derek's jacket. "You just have to trust that. I wish I could tell you, step by step, what to do, what to say. But I don't know. I don't know what my son needs right now, only that it has to be from you," Mrs. Hale said, Sounding like Styles' end of the line might not be the only place where waterworks were occurring at the moment. You just have to trust yourself, Styles. Please, just trust what you two have. Styles took a deep breath. All right, I can do that. It'll be all cool, no worries. I know that whatever you do, it will be the right thing. You have a good heart, Styles. You always have. So the rest of my internal organs just got short-shrifted then? Styles joked, at a loss at how to react to so much abject sincerity. I'll talk to you later, when whatever it is that needs to be done is done. All right, Styles, good luck, Mrs. Hale said, some lightness making its way into her voice for the first time during the conversation. Thanks. Bye, Styles said, before thumbing the button to end the call and shoving the phone back into his pants pocket. Styles wiped his eyes and cheeks with the back of his hand, then hauled himself awkwardly to his feet, stumbling slightly as one of his legs had decided to fall asleep while he had been on the phone. He shook it around for a minute to try and help the blood circulate to regain feeling. He picked up the jacket from where it had fallen on the ground during his incredibly graceful transition from sitting to standing, and started walking towards the Hale house without quite knowing why he thought Derek might be there. With every step that Styles took towards the house, he kept on hoping that some kind of divine revelation from above would come along and give him a lead on what exactly his good heart should do once he got there. True love conquers all sounds really good and all, but Styles would really have appreciated something with a bit more of a proven track record, as opposed to poetic flair. Soon enough, he was at the house, still not having enough of a plan to even call it an ill-defined one. He walked up the steps to the front door before remembering that he didn't have a key. And if Derek was even actually here, the chances he would be willingly up to receiving company was negligible. He went back down the stairs and walked around to the back where the Hale's mudroom connected to the house. The mudroom with an incredibly large doggy door in the door, which Styles had always wondered about because he had never known the Hales to have a dog, but made a hell of a lot of sense now. Not so much a doggy door, but a must-have for the modern werewolf family. Throwing dignity to the wayside, Styles got down and crawled through, thankful that the entry had been constructed with full adult wolves in mind instead of a Pomeranian, and that he was not overly hippie by nature. Driven by the same unnamed feeling that had led him to the house in the first place, Styles went to the main part of the house and up the staircase to the second floor. He walked down the hall to Derek's room, a sense of calm growing within him the closer he got, and upon finding the door open, walked right in. There was a wolf asleep on Derek's bed. A wolf asleep in bed, with his muzzle partially hidden by what Styles was more than pretty sure was one of his hoodies that had gone AWOL a little while back. Styles hadn't really put all that much thought into what Derek would look like as a wolf in the short time he had to deal with the whole knowledge of werewolf info dump, but he hadn't expected him to look so striking, like something a National Geographic photographer would swoon over, with dark brown, almost black, fur covering most of his body, with tan-colored fur on the side of his muzzle, as well as his belly and paws. Like little wolfy socks, Styles thought to himself, as he went and sat down on the window seat, trying to focus on that, and not the fact that there looked like what could only be dried blood matted in Derek's fur, but on his paw and his flank, not around his mouth, as there would have been if he had just been messy eating a rabbit for an early dinner. Styles took off his own shoes and socks before standing up once more, taking off his own sweatshirt, and picking up Derek's jacket that he had set down when he sat. He put the jacket on. Styles walked around to the other side of the bed that was not currently occupied by an apex predator and crawled on as quietly as he could, trying not to make the bed jostle too much. He still was not completely sure what he was doing, but lacking any other options, he laid down next to Derek and carefully laid his arms across him, letting his fingers lightly card through the dense fur for a moment before stilling his hand and closing his eyes.